Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes we can just love the old, whether it is a well-worn pair of shoes, that favorite shirt, that special pair of jeans. Maybe it's that simple old electronic device that's easier to use and has less buttons than the newer versions. Maybe it's that reliable old car. Regardless, sometimes we can have a love for the old. We are familiar with it. We know how to use it. We know what to expect, and it can even have a sentimental or special value to us as well. It can be hard to go from the old to something new, especially when you have an attachment to it. However, sometimes we just need to move on. Simply put, sometimes new is just better. It can work better. It can be more reliable. It can be easier to use. It can be more handy. Other times it can be more cost effective when the old thing just can't be fixed or replaced. Sometimes new is just necessary. Isaiah tells us this morning that God is not afraid of new things, for as we'll see, God makes things new. And we see this right away at the beginning of our text when Isaiah says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." God is making a new David. God had promised that the Messiah, the Christ, would come from the house and lineage of David, that man who was after God's own heart. But all of those men who inevitably followed David fell short. Whether it was a character flaw, being a poor ruler, or just falling away from the Lord in faith, these men just quite never fit the bill. In Isaiah's day, he saw the full gambit of this. He endured the reigns of Manasseh and Ahaz, two of the worst kings in the history of Judah. But on the flip side, he was able to enjoy one of the best, Hezekiah's reign. But he wasn't perfect either. God is going back to the drawing board, Isaiah says. He's making a new David, not another one. He is going past David and back to the source. Jesse, David's father, he's going back to Jesse's stump and back to his roots. He's going to raise up a new king, unlike any other. Sometimes new is necessary, and sometimes it's just flat out better. And this is the case for this new David that God will raise up is divinely equipped. Isaiah says he will have the Holy Spirit dwell on him, and he will possess his gifts and abilities. He will have the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, which refer to governmental and judicial attributes that help him to rule. He will have the Spirit of counsel and of might, which is him being able to devise the right course of action, being able to carry it through. He will have the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will be intimately acquainted with him, and he will know what God wants and desires, and he does it. And again, we see that this new can be better because this new David will be able to rule unlike any other. He will rule with absolute knowledge and justice. He cannot be deceived and will see things for what they really are. He will rule with righteousness and justice, and what he says will get done. His rule will be marked by faithfulness. Why weren't we able to vote for this guy last month? This new David is none other than Jesus. He is the descendant of David and was born in his hometown, Bethlehem. It's on Jesus that the Spirit rests, and he possesses his gifts and qualities. After hearing about the Messiah's kingdom last week, the church, Isaiah tells us about the one who rules it, Jesus. And what a time to hear this text in light of that election season that we had just gone through. We heard all of the candidates claiming and trying to persuade us that they have some of these qualities and abilities that we've just heard. Time will tell if they do, but we know that our Lord has them. And Isaiah changes gears a little bit, and he moves on to telling us that God is not just making a new David, but he's also making a new creation as well. This new creation is better and far different than the old one. It is creation as God intended it. It is Eden restored, for none on God's holy mountain, Isaiah says, shall be hurt or destroyed. He says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Animals that were once prey will dwell safely with their former predators without fear and in safety. Their behaviors and their diets are also different. Isaiah writes, the cow and the bear shall graze together. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. They're going back to eating plants rather than each other. And there's no hostility here towards humans either, since the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. Would you let your children or grandchildren do that? Hopefully not, right? But this is unlike that Cincinnati Zoo incident that happened this summer, where that young boy crawled into a gorilla pen and was grabbed by the gorilla and dragged all over. The zookeepers had to kill the gorilla for the boy's safety and to try to save his life. This wouldn't have happened in Isaiah's vision of a new creation. Isaiah is really talking about a new world and a new place. There's no death, there's no heartache, there's no pain, suffering, tragedy, or death here. Rather, there is peace, joy, comfort, and security. Isaiah says this place is glorious, it's wonderful, magnificent. And the knowledge of God here abounds, like the waters covering the sea. Everyone knows him and his ways here, and that promotes peace. And this is a sharp contrast to our world, where it is said that 86% of all Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists don't even know a Christian. It's estimated that over 400 million people haven't even heard about Jesus in our world. That's quite a lot, considering there's about 7 billion in our world. That's a tragedy and shame that they don't know this, since this new creation is established through him. We gain entrance to it through his death for us. We gain entrance through it through his resurrection, which shows us that we are truly justified, that we are forgiven, and that we too will be resurrected at the last day. This was officially established when he will come again in glory to defeat the devil and all of his foes. God is making a new creation. But there's something else that God makes new as well. If you figured it out, it's you. In this new creation in paradise, we will have new and glorified bodies. They will be perfect, without blemish, incorruptible. And in glory, there'll be no need for physical therapists or doctors or dentist appointments or those little pill containers that you have to tediously refill constantly. Our bodies will work the way they are supposed to. Like I said, new can be better. And while that event is in the future, he makes us new now. Through the waters of holy baptism and baptism, we have put off the old self and we put on the new self, the new man. We live a new life in our Lord Jesus Christ and in his love and his grace. This grace marks and defines our lives, not our old sinful past or actions or even our current ones. God sees our new identity in Christ, that is a forgiven and redeemed person. And that's how we can see ourselves as well. For each day in baptism, we put off the old sinful self and put on the new man when we repent and receive our Lord's forgiveness. This is an ongoing and daily event, but our Lord's grace is bigger and better than our mess ups and failures. It covers it all. And it's through the Holy Spirit that he works in us to make us like his Son. And this new life that we live under this King and Savior who loves us, who calls us by name. Our earthly leaders may have no idea who we are. They may not even know that we have voted for them, but our Lord knows who we are. He knows our cares, he knows our problems, he knows our wants and what we need, and he fulfills them in the way that's best for us and for all. We live under this King who will stand firm and strong and in control when all the other leaders don't or perish or fail. And we will serve him in his kingdom under everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. As we see this morning, new isn't really that bad, is it? It can really be better. Just look at the new David, the new creation, and the new you in Jesus Christ. As we continue our Advent journey, we're not pointed just to the Messiah's kingdom, his church, but also to the new David, that magnificent and wonderful King and Savior. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.